Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It is another edition of the Juice on the Cues podcast here on the Believe in Rivals Network's Wes Chang alongside Brad Bierman. We will get to Jerry McNamara departing for Siena, Malik Brown departing for the portal, and Syracuse lacrosse's loss to Notre Dame. But we begin today's show on another impressive recruiting weekend for Syracuse football. The Orange landing three commitments, starting with 2025 running back Bo McCormick on Friday. A day later, the Orange landing another one from the 2026 class, this time in defensive back Demetrius Samuels Jr. Then on Monday afternoon, local CBA lineman Matt Hahn also committing to Syracuse. Brad, Syracuse is up to 10 commitments in the 2025 class. And how about getting started in that 2026 class already with Samuels?
Incredible that the recruits just keep on coming, Wes. A new month, but the same old positive results. And we're never going to get tired of this as Fran Brown is taking charge, because he's completely changed the whole complexion of the Syracuse football program. I know you've had the opportunity to talk to a lot of recruits, and so you've heard firsthand that this message has been across the board. It seems like players from no matter where they are in the U.S., no matter what position they play, no matter how many stars they have attached to their name, Wes, the common denominators are Fran Brown has completely changed the culture of Syracuse football, and we've seen the results, and they're just staggering to me. You know, following the program this long, he's completely changed the outlook of Syracuse football overnight, instantly. And, you know, it's just going to keep on coming. The news is just going to keep on coming.
So, Brad, I wanted to start with McCormick and then talk about Samuels and finally, you know, kind of close out on Hahn. But, you know, the one commonality I kept hearing from the two of them is how well they were treated by the Syracuse staff, both of them essentially saying the same thing to me when I asked them what their favorite part of the trip was. And they said, in one form or another, quote unquote, the entire trip. So on McCormick, you know, Syracuse, again, wanting to get back to his Northeast roots. We talked about that a lot. They hired one of New England's top recruiters and assistant strength and conditioning coach, Stack Williams. And the McCormick commitment has his fingerprints all over it. He's in charge of the Northeast for the school. And to pluck him right out of Boston College's backyard, where Bill O'Brien swore that he would keep all the top recruits in the area, to stay is a huge commitment. And to that point, you have to keep the local talent at home if you want to establish your roots in New York. So getting Matthew Hahn, a local CBA product, to team up with his teammate Darren Williams to commit to Syracuse, another big recruiting win. Again, you got to keep the guys in your backyard home. And how many times have you heard of Syracuse getting a commitment this early, a full year and a half outside of the 2026 signing day with Samuels, who's a high three-star prospect from Florida? You know, the answer is not since Rivals started covering recruiting in the early 2000s. So he's a potential blue-chip recruit, could be a cornerstone to an incredible class. Again, you mentioned it, Brad. Fran Brown was brought in to recruit. That's exactly what he's done. Wow, just wow.
And let my thoughts, you know, on recruits down the road. It's great to see 2026 recruits, no doubt, you know, especially coming from the state of Florida, great athletes, because we can see from this recruiting, it's speed, it's talent, it's size. I thought it was very telling, Samuel's comment about he's building an SEC-type program. So what does that mean? Well, to me, it means you're recruiting the type of athlete that is an all-American player, whether that's first, second, third, honorable mention. They're at that kind of level, certainly all-conference type of player. And you're also building depth, because football is a game of injuries. We've seen it at the end of the Dino Babers era, had that really hamstrung Syracuse moving forward, especially in the month of November. You have to build depth because there's going to be injuries. And you look at SEC teams, well, a first-teamer goes out, second teamer goes in, they're almost as good as the first teamer. Certainly not an experience, but from an athletic pedigree standpoint. So really exciting when you hear a player from Florida in the heart of SEC country saying that a program up in the Northeast is being built like an SEC program. That is just, you know, music to your ears as a Syracuse football fan. And you mentioned it last week in the podcast, Wes. They're going up against any program. You mentioned Bill O'Brien in Boston. You know, Greg Schiano at Rutgers is famous for also saying, you know, we're raising the wall around the border of New Jersey. Coaches always like to say that. But it says so much about what this program is about. I'm going to go back to it again with Dart. This program for recruiting is based on the Dart principle. The players that buy into it, that's they're coming aboard to Syracuse. And as we've seen, they're giving commitments, you know, a year to 2 years in advance. My only other thought about that, too, is you always wonder what's going to happen. It's so far out. What if Ram Brown was hugely successful in 2 years? Other schools would be calling for him, too. You just never know. And I think back to Dion Waiters for the Syracuse basketball program, first interested in eighth grade, made a commitment in 10th grade. You were wondering, oh, is he going to keep that commitment? Is he ever going to, you know, still end up being a Syracuse player? And I do wonder a little bit about that. So far off, things, you know, with the transfer portal and coaches come and go and badmouth each other behind the scenes. We've heard all those stories. But hey, certainly good news. I don't want to, you know, put any dousing of the great fireworks here in recruiting, but it's something to think about. But again, Texas, Florida, Massachusetts, CBA, just says, you know, this recruiting staff will touch the player no matter where they are and buy into the program. That's why we've seen the success so far.
So, Brad, we move now to the basketball court. The news out of Syracuse on Monday is that Malik Brown, All-ACC defensive team performer, is leaving Syracuse for the portal. Brad, I really think this one hurts Syracuse in the 2024-25 campaign. What do you think?
Wes, I had to do a double take because it was April 1st. Was that an April Fool's Day joke? Malik Brown transferring out of the Syracuse program some 5 or 6 weeks after kind of verbally indicating that he was looking to come back for his third season in the program. I'm disappointed, Wes, because I thought back to when I heard the news that he's now the third recruit from this class, actually the fourth with Benny Williams. Remember that much heralded recruiting class in the fall of 21 that Jim Boeheim brought in and was, you know, marveling at the, you know, players at each of the five positions on the court and one of the best recruiting classes he'd put together with these early commitments. And now the players are transferring out because this is the world we live in today. And from that standpoint, disappointing. But I also think that this transfer of Malik Brown has the marks of Donnie Freeman on it. I really do, because he's going to come in and play the four next year. And did they have discussions in the offseason with Malik Brown that he was going to stay at a five or was going to have to compete? Was there an issue with playing time? Players today want to play. Players want to also play in the NCAA tournament, and players also want to get paid for name, image, and likeness. So I think it's a combination of those four things with this transfer. And boy, it's really going to be interesting to see, can they go out and get the caliber of player in the portal, West, to fill the roster back up now with five openings? The caliber of players out there, but everyone wants them. What's going to be the pitch? Are they going to ask Fran Brown for some recruiting help? I just wonder, because, you know, Red's his own man, of course. He's selling his own program, but what's going to be the pitch? And I think that also ties in to, you know, how the staff is going to look when all is said and done. And we'll see how this roster management shakes out.
So, Brad, I want to look at the four guys who entered the portal this offseason. I'll go chronologically, starting with Benny Williams. We knew he was going to leave because he had been dismissed from the team. That was an easy one. Qadir Copeland hits the portal. It's a significant contributor and a big-time loss, but I think you can understand why he was leaving, because he wasn't going to start heading into next season. With guys like Justin Taylor and Peter Carey, both of them weren't developing on the timeline that Syracuse needed for impact high major players. But again, I think this one hurts, because you have Brown who's starting and he's going to continue to start. He was a key player on the team, could potentially average a double-double next year. So all those factors are in place. So, you know, why is he leaving? I think the answer to all of your questions is money. And this does seem like a potential NIL situation to me, because again, he's starting, he's a key contributor. Red Archery is probably telling him he's going to play 35 minutes a game next year. So what other reason is is there for him to go. In my opinion, it's got to be NIL. And Brad, Brown's not the only major loss for Syracuse in the last week, because Syracuse associate head coach Jerry McNamara named as a new head coach of Siena on Friday. And we all know McNamara was a great at Syracuse from 2002 to 2006. He was on the SU coaching staff since the 2011-12 season. He was promoted as associate head coach following Jim Pham's retirement after the 2023 season. So, Brad, your thoughts on McNamara leaving and who Red Autry should look for in a new associate head coach?
Well, the immediate thought is perfect timing. This was the time for GMAC to leave and run his own program. I had alluded to in the story I'd written in reacting to his announcement last week that, you know, he looked back 6 years ago, but he wasn't ready, and he's ready now. And I also think this has a lot to do with what the future of the Syracuse program is going to look like. I really do. GMAC looks at, you know, staying there in that role and what they have to do. They've got to get to the NCAA tournament. Let's face it. You know, it's NIL. You're right on money, but you have to make the tournament. Players, yeah, they're going to make money, but just like professional players, it's about winning. It's about championships, competing for the ultimate. And I think that's what GMAC wants to do now. I think he sees the perfect opportunity at Siena. He can compete for a MAC title. He can get that NCAA tournament berth, and he's the type of coach where he's going to put a team on there that when Selection Sunday comes around, other analysts are going to say, look out for Siena as a potential 12-5 type upset on opening day. Perfect. And already his first hire, Ben Lee, former Syracuse in the program there with Mike Hopkins at Washington. I think it's just a tremendous hire for him right out of the gate. And I really think what's going to be interesting, Wes, is to see the completion of his staff and how active he goes in the transfer portal now, because let's face it, he's going to be competing with Red Autry to some degree for certain type of players. So that's going to be interesting to see as well as he builds his first Siena team.
Yeah, Brad, I agree with everything you just said. And, you know, you kind of mentioned it just now, but I wanted to turn the conversation a bit toward McNamara and what he's doing at Siena. He's not 3 days into his new job there. He's already pulled off a big recruiting win, right? Because Ben Lee, as you mentioned, the first coach to join his staff, working under Mike Hopkins for 3 seasons before Mike Hopkins was fired at UW. And he's got great Northeast roots, you know, having played at Union College from the 2015 to 19 seasons, having worked and coached for the Albany City Rocks. So, you know, he was the youngest assistant in Power Five basketball, and he's known as an ace recruiter. So McNamara already off to a great head start at Siena, and I'm looking forward to seeing what he does there right around the corner from Syracuse.
And I think what you just described in Ben Lee as McNamara's assistant to some degree is what Red Autry's looking for in his assistant, albeit somebody with a lot more experience and probably a lot more complexities to the X's and O's he's able to bring to the table to Autry's offense and defensive schemes.
We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be joined by 2026 quarterback Gavin Marshalik after the break to talk about his recent visit to Syracuse. This is the Juice on the Cuse podcast. Hey, Believe Nation. As you all know, we partner with Cut, the social betting platform. Cut is a peer-to-peer betting platform that allows you to bet directly against your buddies and other fans. That's right. You can join the Believe crew on Cut today and bet directly against me or Brad on your favorite sports, pop culture, and politics topics. Cut is ultimately where you put your money where your mouth is. Brad, I'm putting my money where my mouth is, and I had Connecticut, Alabama, Purdue, and Houston as my final four. So not too bad on my end. I got actually most of them correct. And I've got Connecticut ultimately winning the national championship. How about you?
I had Connecticut defeating Gonzaga. So I don't know what I was thinking there that they'd improve. But UConn, boy, that's really the mark of a great program in current college basketball. They've got it all. Great job there by UConn.
And we'll have to see whether Brad and I are right. And we can do that on the Cut app. Be sure to follow at CutBet, that's K-U-T-T-B-E-T, on all your social media platforms, and download the app via the App Store or cutkutt.com. Use code BELEAVEQCE, that's BLEAVQCE, that's BLEAVQCE, for a 10% discount. Use the code, people. Cut, put your money where your mouth is. Back on the Juice on the Cuse podcast, Wes Chang here with you. We've been talking a lot about Syracuse hosting some top recruits on campus for spring practice. One of them is 2026 quarterback Gavin Marshalik, and we welcome him on the program now. Gavin, how are you today?
Great. Thanks for having me. How are you?
Yeah, Gavin, doing really well. We'll get you started on this one. You were on the Syracuse campus last week. How did the visit go?
It was a great trip. I had a great time. The coaches, the recruiting staff, they're great to me. Just the feel, the energy of how practice went and the whole visit overall, I'd say I had an awesome time up there.
So for those of us who aren't Division I recruits like yourself, what was your schedule like that day?
So we got there. It was they gave us just a quick like tour of the facility and everything. We went out, watched practice, and then after that they took us down. We got a little bit of time with our position coach, and then after that we went down. They gave us a campus tour, and then we went home.
I know you visited Syracuse before with Dino Bapers. As you now know, Fran Brown is the head coach. What are the differences you saw between those visits?
I would say there definitely seemed to be way more energy, and I think the players seemed to be way more into it too. Like just how Coach Brown was, he was mic'd up the whole time and everything. He was always finding some way to correct somebody, and the next rep they'd do it, whatever he was saying, they'd do it better and make a play every time. Coach Brown's doing a great job up there, and I love what he's doing.
So, Gavin, we were talking pre-show about this, but one of the people you got to see during practice and get to know better was quarterback Kyle McCord. What did you see from him, and what did you learn from him?
I think McCord's one of the best quarterbacks in college football right now, and he obviously transitioning from Ohio State to Syracuse, he's one of the, like I said, one of the best quarterbacks in college football, and I learned a lot from watching him. His movement, like how he reads, how he goes through a progression, just how he plays position overall. I learned a lot from him in that, I'd say, 2-3 hours I watched.
Gavin, speaking of the new staff, I know there are a couple new coaches involved in your recruitment. Who are they?
The only new person that's taking over, like recruiting my area, will be Tyler Brewer. Tyler's a great guy. I love Tyler. He's always really, really good to me whenever I'm up there, always making sure I'm right, me and my family. So I really appreciate Tyler. And then I still have Coach Nunzio is actually the quarterback coach now. So him and Coach Manny Harris are the ones that take over my position, and Tyler does recruiting for my area.
Gavin, you mentioned Coaches Campanelli and Harris. I wanted to see how that went and what you guys spoke about.
Oh, it was great. They just caught up on how my offseason's been going and getting back up for the spring and practice and coming up to the spring game and camp and a game day.
So speaking of coming back, are you planning on being at Elite Camp in June?
Yeah, I'm definitely going to be at camp 100%, and we're actually going to go up to the spring game I got invited to. So we're going to head up to the spring game too.
And Gavin, we'll get you out of here on this one. We've been talking a lot about Syracuse this whole time, but that's not the only school that's recruiting you. So talk to me about your upcoming visits and the other schools you're hearing from most right now.
I've been hearing a lot. I'm actually going on a visit to Maryland, and this weekend I'm going on a visit to Maryland, and then schools that have been in my recruiting, I'd say definitely Penn State, UConn, Boston College, Syracuse, Bowling Green, Temple, and Villanova.
Gavin, thank you for the time again. Enjoy the spring game. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, thank you.
Gavin Marshalik, ladies and gentlemen. Always great to catch up with him. We'll have to speak with him after the spring game and also Elite Camp in June. He's a 2026 quarterback who already holds a couple offers and obviously hearing from a lot of high majors as well. We will take a quick break and talk a little Syracuse lacrosse on the other side. This is the Juice on the Cuse podcast, and I'm Wes Chang.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Back on the Juice on the Cuse podcast, Wes Chang alongside Brad Bierman. Brad, wanted to close the show on a disappointing weekend for Syracuse lacrosse. They traveled to take on number one Notre Dame with the number one ranking on the line. We talked about this in the podcast last week. They unfortunately fell short 14-12. So Brad, wanted to get your thoughts on this, but it really seems like the Irish are the dragon that Syracuse can't quite slay at the moment.
It was a disappointing game in terms of the fact that Syracuse did not bring its A game, and you have to bring your A game when you face number one on the road. Notre Dame's a good team, first of all. They have a great offense, well-coached, defending national champions. I thought their defense was could have been vulnerable. Syracuse did not have a great offensive game. Will Mark in goal was pretty strong, but again, Notre Dame's offense is just lights out. As you mentioned, they've owned Syracuse in the last six meetings. But I see the progress we've talked about all season from this team. It's still young. It's still developing. It's going to most likely be an NCAA tournament team. Whether or not they can be a top eight seed to host a first round game, that remains to be seen. There's a small window there where they have to play that, usually that Sunday night, Mother's Day evening. So might be hard for the tournament to put that all together, the committee. But, you know, I do have a little bit of a gripe with the schedule. And I know that they must have done this for a particular reason. They have the first seven games, obviously, at home, but they were jamming a lot of games in there, sometimes two and three games in a week. And now here at the back end of the schedule, they have Cornell off just a couple days rest after going out to Notre Dame, have to go to Ithaca for a road game Tuesday night, then do have a week off, 11 days before going to North Carolina, and then the final home game against Virginia. But then there's another 2 week gap before the ACC tournament, which comes back this season in Charlotte. So I know there's probably rhyme or reason to it. Certainly wanted to get out to a hot start with home games for this young team. But now on the back end, let's see how the team responds on the road. Short turnaround for the Cornell game, a little bit longer for North Carolina and ACC game, and then finishing up home against a very tough Virginia team. It should be interesting. But I think this is NCAA tournament bound team. Unless something happens over the final three games, it's unexpected.
Yeah, Brad, I wanted to bring it back to the Notre Dame game for a second. You kind of alluded to it. It's been since 2017 since they defeated them. And you look at their last three matchups. In 2021, the score was 22-8. Next year in the 22 season, 22-6. And then last year, 20-12. So certainly a better showing for the Orange on Saturday. But even then, the final score may have looked a little closer than it actually was because Syracuse was trailing by six heading into that fourth quarter. And you knew that outscoring the number one team by six on the road in that quarter probably wasn't in the cards. So I do want to credit them for making it tight, especially in those final 2 minutes, but it really wasn't in the cards for them. They have to get more from Owen Hiltz and Joey Spolina. They were basically, they had more turnovers than points. I think that's an issue. And of course, at the faceoff X, you're not going to give up that many faceoffs, especially the first 8 out of 9 in the first quarter went to Notre Dame. So that's not going to get it done either. So I do, it's a disappointing loss. They are an NCAA tournament team for sure. You know, you have to see how they finish out the last few games of the regular season. But again, if you want to win the NCAA tournament, if you want to get back into national prominence, you have to take down a team like Notre Dame.
Yeah, and first steps first, though, Wes. I think let's see how they respond these final three games. Can this coaching staff get them back up? That's going to be an interesting question. I think so. Cornell's a big rival, and then two ACC games. And then that tournament's going to be interesting. Again, 2 weeks off, and then, you know, single elimination. We've seen crazy things happen in these conference tournaments. And then make the NCAA tournament. That would, to me, be the step to see as we progress from a losing season to a winning season, year three, make the tournament. That would be progress for me, for Gary Gaid and company.
Well, that's it for us. For Brad Bierman, this is Wes Chang. You've been listening to the Juice on the Cuse podcast presented by Rivals and Believe, and we will see you next time.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.